Hello, Women Talk Sports fans. It is Stephanie and Kara, and we are here with the January 2013 podcast. We made it to a new year. Congrats, Kara. So today we have a pretty hefty lineup for you. All good stuff, of course. First, we're going to be talking about the National Women's Soccer League, which is not the new soccer league. New Women's Soccer League. It's a joke, Kara told me. That clearly she would deliver much better. And then we're going to be talking about cycling and kind of the stuff that's been going on with taking drugs and Lance Armstrong, all that juicy stuff, because we can't forget that, making headlines across all sports areas right now. Then we'll talk about some tennis, the Australian Open. We might get into some fashion stuff, so if you're into sports outfits, stay tuned. And then just because we're two hilarious people, we decided to come up with the top 10 ways you know your significant other is alive. And so that should be fun to figure out how that whole thing works. So let's just jump right into the National Women's Soccer League. There was a really good post by Fair Game News, which you can find on Women Talk Sports, and they give some observations that I took as being hopeful for this new league. Because, there are some question whether it's going to be any different, if there's going to be enough press and fans following the league. So let's see what she has to say here. Do you have it up?
Yeah, so the first one, I really agree with this because this is taught, I'm sure you know this too. It takes a lot of time to build an audience. So, the first observation is that it does take time to build an audience. This is not being launched at on the heels of, last time it was the first one was on the 1999 World Cup. There was a lot of coverage, but there wasn't that many fans. The audience that they have now is a little bit of a different audience. It's girls who've grown up watching soccer. It's our generation, actually, I would say. There's a lot of older fans, but we are also, the girls. I remember when I was watching the 1999 World Cup victory, I was in an airport and our flight was delayed. And it was me and my family and my two little sisters, and we sat there and cheered. And every single one of us, all three of us now follow it. So yeah, I totally agree with her first observation that it is hopeful that we've had some time to build an audience.
The second one is she mentions defining the brand on fewer money. So all of these leagues have taken so much money in order to get them up and running with different giveaways and marketing and all that stuff to get people interested. And it seems like they're going to be taking a different approach with this.
Yeah, they've really cut, they've downsized and simplified. I think a lot of advertisers in general make the mistake, a lot of products in general make the mistake of thinking, let's just throw some money at it and it's going to work.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I will tell you, it's not exactly that. As an, working in advertising and working in marketing, I'll gladly take your money. But it's not necessarily what you need.
Yeah, and I think especially with women's sports, because you have to think about who the audience is. Is it men? Is it women? And like, there was all of this talk about during the Olympic Games that women were watching because it's shorter segments and they talk about the story behind the athletes, so it's more like I would say more like a movie type thing in shorter segments. So women who are super busy and have children are able to watch it, and I think that's what makes it hard for leagues that want to promote their brand because they're kind of like in between two different audiences. So they could throw a lot of money and it really won't do a whole lot. So we'll see what happens with that. But apparently the person who wrote this blog, Fair Game News, won a refrigerator at the WUSA, like a giveaway for them, which would be awesome. If someone gave me a refrigerator, I mean, I'd
I mean,
take it.
at this point in my life, I don't have anywhere to store it, but yeah, I'd probably take it.
Dude, I have too many vegetables. I could use several refrigerators. So think of that, the NWSL, please. I want a refrigerator. The third thing is you need star players, and it seems like they're going to have this, so there isn't going to be a problem with that, which should give us all hope. And that I don't think was questioned whether there were going to be star players, because anyone who's wants to play soccer and develop and make it onto the national team, they have to play somewhere. So
Yeah, and they actually too, Arcole was on Women Talk Sports, did end up doing a draft. So that was really interesting to watch to see who got drafted. Wasn't all just big schools, which was great. There are some small schools too. I thought it was kind of funny, and this is just personal, but they had like 4 days of ranking, all white kid did of like who would go in the draft.
yeah.
My sister's school didn't show up to like number 129 or something, but
Wow,
that's
that's
okay.
awesome.
She'll get there, maybe.
Still, the fact that that was on the list, like that they were
Yeah.
going that far.
Yeah, they were that far down, but it was still kind of amazing considering they didn't even make it. They weren't even their conference tournament champs. So
Okay.
it's okay.
Well,
Shout out to MTSU. We'll get there.
we'll stay tuned for that.
Yes.
And then why don't you take the fourth thing that she mentioned?
So the financial structure. I think this is in any business. I mean, we both know this. I mean, in your day-to-day life, you have to have a structure that's actually going to work. You can't be, spending more money than you're actually bringing in. And the thing with this is, you can't really take out, I need to take out $1 billion loans to cover a women's national soccer team, our league. But, corporate dollars are scarce. Even in the NBA, we don't want to have individual owners. We know what happened last time with that. It can prove to be awful. So they're pretty smart this time. They kind of align their financial stability of the league with natural allies. The national players are being funded by the national organizations. So U.S., Mexico, and Canadian players are all, are being funded by their national leagues, which makes a lot of sense considering, that's the reason you're playing in a pro league is so you don't get rusty in between. And they let, it kind of lets private and corporate sponsorship bear some, but not all of the weight. So it's kind of more realistic, a little bit stable. So, it's kind of like, you're in college, you work a part-time job, you have a loan. And you might have your parents giving you some cash on the slide. That's a lot smarter idea than having just to rely just on the loan.
So basically, what this is saying is with the financial structure, these corporate sponsors could end up giving me a refrigerator.
Yes.
I'm happy with that.
Essentially.
Everyone wins.
Hopefully, Home Depot will come through here for you and
Gosh, fingers crossed.
or Walmart,
I would take it from either.
Anyone refrigerator? I'm sure you could even look on Craigslist if you really wanted one here.
I could, but I'm looking for the free goods.
I'm sure it's underneath the free items on Craigslist.
Okay, I'll look into that. If anyone out there knows of something, keep me posted. But needless to say, it seems like this is going to be a little bit smoother than all the other operations that came before it. So all we can do is wait and see. Looks good now. So,
Buy tickets if they're close.
if there's a team around you or if you want to go on a vacation, check out the league schedule.
Anne Gaffigan will let you stay at her house in
She
Kansas.
will. Sorry, Anne, for welcoming people into your house unexpectedly. All right, so let's talk about Nicole Cook. So some people might not know of her. She was a British cyclist, and she just announced that she was retiring from cycling. So she was a double champion at the Olympic Games. She was a world champion in 2008, and she won the Tour de France, the women's version of the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and then she was a 10-time British champion. So this cyclist was legit.
The Tour de France and the Giro d'Italia are both, hardcore on the women's side. So they're not as long as the men's typically, but still it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so she's basically a big deal. And she had, in the beginning of her career, she really fought to make it into this male-dominated world. And then this article, well, they several people posted, but there's an article on Women Talk Sports by Let's see who this is. By Inspiring Women's Sports, she replicated Nicole Cook's retirement speech. And she mentions a lot of things that kind of reflect what's happening in the world of cycling, especially on the men's side. So she said that she has been riding since 2002, most of her adult life, and every scandal that's happened on the men's side has caused sponsors to leave on the women's side. So that puts a lot of strain on a group that doesn't need this extra strain. Women's sports typically always has less money, so that can really hurt them. I have a few quotes that were pulled from that, but she said, "I do despair that the sport will never clean itself up when the rewards of stealing are greater than riding clean. If that remains the case, the temptation for those with no morals will always be too great." So she's basically calling out women on her side and the sport of cycling for doping so heavily. And she said later, "I've been robbed by drug cheats. I'm fortunate I'm here before you with more in my basket than the 12-year-old dreamed of. But for many genuine people out there who do ride clean, people with morals, many of these people have had to leave the sport with nothing after a lifetime of hard work, some going through horrific financial turmoil." Then Lance cries, in quote, on Oprah later this week, and she passes him a tissue, sparing a thought for all of those genuine people who walked away with no reward, just shattered dreams. Each one of them is worth a thousand Lances. I mean, that's a pretty powerful retirement speech.
Yeah, and I this is kind of making me almost like was I was watching a little bit of the Oprah interview, and it was really hard for me not to like get very angry and get like feel like crying because I was just so dope, like not doped, but I was just so like wool pulled over my eyes with the Lance Armstrong thing. It's funny because that for me, and she says it wonderfully. For me, I always believed Lance up to when he came out. There's a whole group of riders that I followed since I was a kid. Levi Leipheimer, David Zabriskie, George Hincapie. I can name them off. I probably should have been actually, following the women's side of the sport besides Kirsten Armstrong, who is also a great champion. But it was just very hard for me to realize that they were all doping. Probably the hardest, and for me, it was George Hincapie. In our sport, he's always kind of been considered the good guy. Like, oh, well, if George says it, nothing's going on. And to know that, George has been lying for that long was really hard. But what it really comes down to is that Lance did really, screw some people over. He was not a nice guy. He was a
God, he
bully.
was a jerk.
He
I
was
mean,
a
the things
jerk.
he did to the trainer and to the wife, like that the wife of one of his
Yeah.
fellow riders.
Betty on Betsy Andre. Yeah.
I
She, I
mean,
mean,
he
Floyd
said to her,
is,
he
yeah.
never called her fat. He was like, "I called you a bitch, I called you this, but I never called you fat." Like, that was supposed to make her feel better.
I
What a
know.
jerk move. God.
He's a jerk. He's an outright jerk, and it's just, I think I don't, I'm sure other people have felt this too. I mean, Susie Faber-Hamilton probably for you a little bit more, but Lance and that group were kind of my childhood heroes. So like, having that all kind of come crashing down was really hard. I didn't make it through the Oprah interview because I just felt like such an idiot. Like I believe something that hard. But, I saw Lance ride in 1996 in the Olympics. I was, itty bitty little blonde thing. Any race that was close to where I was living, we went and watched. It was just one of those things that, he was kind of Lance, and then even more so the rest of the teams were like kind of who I looked, that was what I was into, and that's who I loved. So it's a little hard to like even kind of reconcile this, but I think she has a lot of good quotes, and it's someone who we should definitely look up to. She did it clean, and she was able to win.
Oh, totally. She and Lauren Fleshman, which we'll talk about in the Women Talk Running podcast, I had a very different reaction to that. And I kind of stand, I feel like I understand what Nicole is saying here because I always assumed that everyone in cycling just did drugs. So I just had this, like, oh, like They all do it, so it's really not that big of a deal. So it didn't shock me like it shocked you. I'm really sorry. But I kept thinking, like, what a jerk he was, because how could he have been the only person not doing it when literally everyone else on his team was? What I thought was, I mean, I think it's amazing for him to come on television, not admirable, but amazing that he's coming on there to watch himself lie and then have to, like, try and seem so truthful. So I really admire Nicole for calling that out and basically saying she's concerned about the sport. And Lauren Fleshman talks about that in respect to triathlon and running, that 90% of people are doing it clean, well, in other sports besides cycling, where I think they have much higher rate of drug use, but the people who do drugs are the ones that get the praise because they're winning so ridiculously. So read
I know.
this post, people, because Nicole Cook has got it going on.
Yep. And, I'm going to also preface, I think there's some other men's sports that are doing a lot of drugs too. They're just
Yes.
not looked down upon as much,
Right.
aka football and
Baseball.
baseball. So,
And
we
that's what's
can't.
interesting too, like, because some sports, even in track and field, like Marion Jones was a case, and I'm sure that there's other people who do, like, sneak around and do that. I've heard rumors, but it isn't
Russians, sorry.
the yeah. But it isn't as, like, talked about, and I really feel like it's understood in cycling. It's just until you personally admit that you've done it. But then again, these cyclists aren't getting, like, Lance got his 7 tour titles taken away from him in quotes, but Marion Jones had to go to jail. So there's, like, different severities of these things based on sports. So that in itself is interesting.
Yeah, it is. But you, Floyd Landis, who actually did, who was on one of Lance's teams, doped. His life is in ruins right now, like absolutely ruins, because of what Lance did, and also because he doped.
Okay.
So there is some significant. Yeah, maybe it's not jail. Yes, Marion Jones had to go to jail, but there's been a lot of lashback for those cheaters. But there's some people who just get a slap on the wrist.
Like Lance, I really don't think much is going to happen with him.
No, I don't either. I think the worst of it might actually come because he has admitted to it. All the people he sued and won.
Yeah.
I mean, I think financially it's going to hurt him. It's going to definitely hurt the Livestrong organization, which is very sad because he was actually doing good work there.
Yeah, I used to go to that site for everything. You have a question? Just hit up
Yeah.
that website. And
Yeah,
Women Talk Sports. But
you have more experience than I do in that department. But they were doing good things, and being in Austin with this whole Lance controversy, there's some other stuff that is kind of ridiculous. We have a Lance Armstrong bikeway in Austin that's named after him. And we're kind of in the middle of, like, do we want to keep that name or not? The same,
yeah.
but on that same note, we also do have a statue of Willie Nelson.
Well,
So, they both did drugs, technically.
yeah.
They revealed Willie Nelson's statue, I think, on 420 at 420 or something. So,
Oh my
we all know
God.
what's going on there. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens in Austin.
Well, keep us posted.
So I think we're going to move on to tennis here.
Yes.
So the Australian Open has been happening this past week. It's been kind of hard to follow since they are basically a whole day ahead of us. You can kind of catch it in the early morning. So the biggest shocker was Serena Williams, who's been having a massively good year. Kind of gets beat by this up-and-comer, another U.S. player, Sloane,
She's
and
19 years old.
who's 19 years old. Serena's been asked numerous amounts of times if she's her mentor. Because she is also an African American player. And everyone was expecting, Sloane to give her a good game, but not really expecting her to win.
Yeah, it was quite the match.
Quite the match. I actually saw a picture of Serena's swollen ankle recently, so it definitely looks like she had some injury. Probably just a long season. She's kind of been rolling here for a while. So big upset. It was going to be awesome to see the sport grow a little bit more. I mean, no offense to Serena, she's not that old. She's not retiring anytime soon. But it's always great to see those 19-year-olds coming up.
Totally.
Funny thing was, Sloane got beat, of course, in the next round by Victoria. And I'm going to butcher this name, so just bear it with me.
You're good.
Ourizuka. It's got to be some wonderful European. And there was a little bit of controversy in it because she played the game. She was getting beat by Sloane. And she decided to delay. She had a medical delay in the middle of the game. And some people are saying that she faked it just to, like, kind of change the way the game was going. So, but it'll be good. I think we're finishing up here soon. So, keep your eyes out for results. I will definitely be linking on Women Talk Sports. And can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, this has been a big one. I think there's a lot of people that are at least tweeting about it within the network and outside of it. I've seen a lot of press. So, and I think that has to do with Serena being upset by Sloane. So, some good matches. We will keep you posted and always check Women Talk Sports for those updates. So now let's talk a little bit more like fashion, which we have never talked about on this podcast, but there's a first for everything.
Yeah, and we have a wonderful blog that we get in here called A Glam Slam. Always gets a lot of clicks, always gets a lot of hits. But it's always fun to see athletes in either athletic wear or even dressed up for the Golden Globes.
Yeah, and since we're so fashionable, we decided we would give you our top picks.
Oh yes, let me tell you how fashionable I am.
Yeah, the reason we are on podcast and not on television is because of our wardrobe choices. No, I'm kidding.
And I don't want to wear makeup, so
Two things. We would not make it on Glam Slam, at least not today. So, if you go to Glam Slam on Women Talk Sports, you can see the exact article where we are pulling this from. It's called Game Set Style 2013 Australian Open Fashion Show, or fashion preview. So, do you have a top pick, Kara?
Well, it's kind of hard here because I'm getting very distracted by Roger Federer picks, but
God, who isn't? No, I'm kidding.
So, it's kind of hard to go against the Serena Williams outfit. I'm really liking the skirt and the color blocking. Oh my God, I'm sounding like Tim Gunn.
Are you talking about the one piece, the first purple one?
Yeah, the first purple one piece, the color blocking is really nice.
Yeah, I love those colors. It's light purple, then a like a eggplant and orange.
Yeah, it's
Real hot.
great.
Yes.
But it looks like the trend's actually leaning towards the yellow. I'm kind of
Yes.
liking it a lot. Nike's kind of took a little bit away from their bright green that they've had recently in most of their shoes and kind of leaning towards a little bit of a yellow.
Right, which and neon, a neonish yellow and orange, which is, I don't know, it helps you see people out on the court, but and purple is really big too for the women's side. So those two colors seem to be huge. Even Adidas was starting to do the yellow.
Yeah, and there is actually not the Stella McCartney look, but the look that Angelique Kerber is wearing with the skirt. That's adorable. I think I would probably run in that skirt if I was able to.
Oh, I gotta find it. I used to have a tennis skirt that I would run in, so I mean it was comfortable. But running skirts, I don't think they took off as much, but I still would wear them.
It depends on the
Right.
demographic.
Our demographic, the one on this podcast, we would wear them.
Yes. From working running stores enough, you got a certain different demographic for most of the clothes.
Totally. The one thing that I wasn't too fond of was the it's the second to last picture, and I think it's Venus wearing like a color splattered like
Yeah,
one piece.
it looks like it's. I want to say it might be from her own line. It's a little short. Doesn't really look like it's that comfortable to play in.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst thing I've seen, but out of all of these fashion things, like, there's some really cute stuff, and that one just, it's so different from what I've seen in the tennis world, so.
Yeah. I
I
don't know.
feel
I
like
think
they.
I would maybe like wear it if it was a little longer. I might wear it out, but I
Oh,
don't know if I
totally.
would wear it to play tennis.
I agree. But they're always pushing those boundaries, except on the men's side. I gotta say, I feel like I need to see some like sleeveless shirts here. Like, let's mix it up.
Yeah, I mean
So.
they're trying hard with some prints, but yeah, I mean I know guys are a little bit pickier than women, I feel like, when it comes to their athletic gear.
Yeah. That Lotto LED polo that Nicolas Almagro is, I think, he's in one of the photos, but that outfit's kind of cool because it's that neon color.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the neon.
Yeah. So if you are planning to play tennis and you want approval from the Women Talk Sports podcast crew, go with neon.
Neon for anything these
Yeah.
days.
Just go for it.
We approve.
Yes.
Let's move on to the top 10.
This is like spaghetti.
I'm sure our audience has heard about the scandal of the Notre Dame player, Tao, who thought he had a girlfriend, told the whole world she died of cancer, after being in a serious car crash, only to find out that she is actually not real.
So it's kind of a trippy story. And she was interviewed by Katie. He was interviewed by Katie Couric, saying that he didn't know that she wasn't real because they met online and had never met in person. So super weird. But we just want to make sure that none of you guys end up in the same situation. So we've given you the top 10 ways that you know your fake significant other is still alive.
Maybe.
Possibly alive. It can be questionable. So
Yes.
you start with 10.
So 10. She says her favorite movie is Catfish.
Ooh, watch out.
Watch out.
Number 9, he or she calls you on the phone. Guess he or she really is alive. Although that can be tricky because she called Teo too, so.
And supposedly it might have been a male voice. I don't know. I'm.
Yeah, I heard it and it sounded pretty feminine, but who knows?
Who knows? She siblings joined Twitter just to talk to you because they want to know all about you.
That's definitely believable. We
Definitely.
are, let's see. 7. He or she tweets, "I miss you."
Better yet than just a tweet. He gives you that, he she gives you a wonderful Follow Friday or FF or a coveted retweet.
Ooh. He or
Almost
she.
as good as candy.
Right. Yeah, well, we might get to that. He or she tells you to stay on the phone until they fall asleep, and then there's no silence and no breathing. Dun dun dun.
He slash she whispers sweet nothings in your ear. Or maybe you're just hearing voices.
3. He or she is too busy to meet with you in person. They love you, but too busy to meet with you.
I'll let you do this next one.
Okay, this is a throwback to like the 90s. So if you were around in the 90s, you might appreciate this. So you're delivered beautiful flowers at work or home, which means that you're pulling a Cher from the movie Clueless and ordering yourself flowers and candies. So people think you have a significant other.
He slash she calls you months after dying to tell you that they faked their own death to avoid drug dealers. Guess they're still alive. And if you're really wondering, I think the best way is maybe get in contact with Nev, who was actually in the movie Catfish, and try to get on MTV.
That show is really addicting.
I know, I'm kind of sad because it's on Hulu. It like doesn't come out till like 3 weeks afterwards. I've been waiting.
Gosh, I can't believe he didn't take that option.
Oddly addicting in TV shows.
Yeah, I just heard about it from my students, and I was like, this is amazing. Who would have thought that it would actually become necessary in the sports world? So.
Know. I love that the term catfish became popular in the sports world for that very reason.
You never know what to expect. So if these things do not help you figure out whether your fake significant other is alive or dead, we cannot help you any further. We wish you luck. All right. Well, that wraps up the January edition of the Women Talk Sports podcast. If you have questions, comments, ideas that you want us to talk about, please email us at podcast@womentalksports.com. Then you can tweet us again at Women Talk Sports, Steph M. Pearl, or Kara Bird.
With a Y. Just to
Yes.
let you know. You'll find me. It's not
She's
hard.
all over the place. So take care until next time, and we will talk to you then.
And have a happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, we won't see you until afterwards. Let love fill the air. We will see you later.
Bye.